is Offstage and On the Air with me, Alisa Sheps. This is performance number 723. Welcome to season 15. I am, as I just said, Alisa Sheps, along with guest co-host Lacey Cannon Gonzalez. Say it again, Lacey.
Hey, folks.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away. About to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah. What a 15 minutes. It is Wednesday, June 7th, 2023. On the show today, well, first of all, this is the first show of our 15th season. We're in our 15th year. We are lucky to have Pedamonte Productions and their show, Julieta Tiene la Culpa. And then later on, we'll be talking to Summer Break Theater and their show, Thank You and Have a Nice Day. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, and wherever else. Stick with us. Never get to heaven if you treat me this way. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Right. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Stop decision. Intermission. Okay, 15-minute intermission. Lacey Cannon Gonzalez.
Hello.
Welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, here's a quiz. You know, I always have a reason for playing my little songs that I play. Can you guess why on earth I would play this 15-minute intermission song? No, you can't, can you?
Is it from a show that debuted today?
No.
Many years ago?
No. I'll tell you, it is a stretch. You never would get it.
Okay.
It's our 15th season, and so I looked for a song with 15 in it.
You just said that?
Yeah.
I should have paid attention.
And that was from a show called The Hot Shoe Shuffle, which is a show from Australia? Is it Australia? Am I wrong? I can't. I have it here on my computer, and now I can't find it. But it's Australia. This is the UK version. It's like the most popular show that originated in Australia. I had never heard of it. Hot Shoe Shuffle.
Don't say that five times fast.
I'm not gonna. I refuse. And I wish I had the Wikipedia page up because there was a. It's about a tap dancing group and. And there it is. Okay, yay, I found it. Because I had to read it. The musical concerns seven tap brothers. And the names are Spring, Slap, Buck, Wing, Tip, Tap, and Slide.
Are those all tap?
Those are all tap things.
tap jokes.
Yeah. It's one of the most popular Australian musicals of all time. It's the first one to have a successful run on the West End, and it was nominated in 1995 for the Olivier Award for Best New Musical.
So you said seven tap brothers?
Tap brothers, seven of them.
So are there seven tap brides?
There should be. Seven Tap Brothers for Seven Tap Brides.
Crossover.
I got it right away. That's good. Well, great. Let's introduce the other folks that are here, sitting here with us. We have Alejandra Pedamonte. Hola. Hola. Well, you know what's going to help is if I turn your microphone on. Try that again.
How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing good. We have Veronica Pomata.
Yay.
You've been on the show before, haven't you, Veronica?
No.
Oh, I thought you have. And you're going to have to forgive me because you didn't come in until after I was already started. I will probably mispronounce your name, but we're going to give it a try. Ready?
Okay.
Lilian Schiappa Pietra?
Schiappa Pietra.
Schiappa Pietra. Is that Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's Italian. I knew that. I got that right away. Well, welcome to the show. We're just going to talk about theater to beginning. I normally have time to talk to my guests before we came on the air, but we didn't this time. It was a little bit of a rush. I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful show. It was an encore performance, and I was actually playing it. So it's those of you that are listening to International Folk Bazaar, I just need to give you my sincere apologies, but I did the best I could, for God's sakes. We did have an opening on Broadway.
Yes.
This week. Grey House opened. And we talked about this last week. They did a strange thing where they opened, I forgot what day they opened, but one of their, one of the three leads was ill, so they did not allow critics to review it for like 3 days. And so the critics, so the reviews came out about 4 days after it opened. And that's, you know, and we talked, I'm not going to go into it in my opinion about this because I talked about it last week. So you'll just have to go and listen to last week's show. But Grey House is billed as a horror play. I had to pronounce that specifically. A horror play. Do you, anybody? So one of the things about this genre is this, it doesn't happen very often.
Mm-mm.
Anybody else know of the only horror play I can think of is Wait Until Dark.
There's Wait Until Dark, Lady in Black, or Woman in Black. And then there's Death Trap.
Death Trap is a mystery.
Okay, see, but it's listed. They list it as horror.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm surprised about that.
Because horror is one of my favorite genre of plays.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, of plays.
I said I'm sorry to hear that.
But it's so good for stage.
Who else? What is that? Did anybody else have any other feelings about horror stuff?
I don't even do like horror movies, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, it's very theatrical to think, you know, putting up a horror performance might be amazing, you know, when it comes to the actual production design, you know? But I never have, actually.
We did one of the theater, the Mystery of Haunted House, Hill House, or something like that.
I saw that.
Yep, I was the lighting designer for it. But this show, Grey House, is starring, amongst others, Laurie Metcalf and Paul Sparks. And Laurie Metcalf, who could really do no wrong. On the Did They Like It site, it got 5 thumbs up, 6 middle of the road, and 0 thumbs down. So everybody seemed to like it. And here's what it says about it. When a couple crashes their car in the mountains, they seek shelter in an isolated cabin. Its inhabitants, though somewhat unusual, are eager to make their guests feel right at home. But as the blizzard outside rages on, one night turns into several, the couple becomes less and less sure of what's true about their hosts, themselves, and why that sound in the walls keeps getting louder.
Dun, dun, dun.
Scary. So Jesse Green of the New York Times said, quote, Grey House at the Lyceum Theater is certainly an in-your-face assault, more in the matter of John Carpenter's movies than anything seen on stage since the age of the melodrama. It is so expertly assembled from spare parts by the playwright Levi Holloway and director Joe Mantello that you may not notice between the jump scares and the shivery pauses how little it has on its mind. Something about cycles of abuse, the legacy of misogyny? Sure, let's go with that.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I am curious too. Although I doubt I'd say I'm not a big fan of horror.
I'm considering cashing in some flight points to go see it.
Okay, there you go. Well, it originated in Chicago, which you were just in not all that long ago.
Yeah.
And it had its world premiere at the Red Orchid. I cannot speak today. Orchid Theater. And let's see what else I have to say. So the title character is the house. Jesse Green says the title character, as designed by Scott Pask and lit by Natasha Katz, and especially as given voice by the sound designer Tom Gibbons, the house seems to be the repository of feelings and history that everyone else is mostly sidestepping. It moans while they tease.
Wow.
So do y'all like jump scares?
No.
Yes.
I despise them. What do you like about them?
Boo. So it's like, it's the same idea that I don't really enjoy happy endings in like books or movies. And I've been asked about this before. I'm like,
well, but what does that have to do with a jump scare?
Well, the same idea, right? I like it on the screen or on stage, just not on my life.
Okay. Yeah. Not a big fan. Other critics, Deadline's Greg Evans said it's a savvy tale that might be likened to a dark, lonely take on a moonless night, scary enough on the surface, scarier still when one ponders what's below the surface. Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said this puzzling, undercooked but still arresting play set in 1977 knows the accords and genre conventions from whence it derives. I need to say that I moved to New York in 1977, so that means something. Vultures Jackson McHenry says, the production makes a good cause for more full-on spookiness on stage.
Yes, more spooky.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I agree. I like the idea of having the genre. I'm not going to go see any of them, but there you go. And speaking, just while we're staking about the genre, there's another horror show that opened off-Broadway, wow. And it's called Wet Brain. It's billed as a vodka-spiked horror show. This review is by Laura Collins Hughes of the New York Times. And she gave it a pretty good good review. She says, quote, this is a horror show, unequivocally, but John J. Coswell Jr.'s Wet Brain at Playwrights Horizons is also a very funny, pitch-black comedy about addiction and obligation, love and abandonment, and patterns of poisonous behavior lodged so deep they seem encoded. Also, Joe may or may not be in contact with aliens, so there's some space travel along the way.
And there's space.
Yeah, well, and there's something else.
I have to say that I was surprised when I read this review. It's directed by Dustin Wills, formerly of Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And has done it. And I actually, Dustin used to direct a lot for Tudor Theater Company. And I remember seeing like the third show he directed. And I sat there and said, I have to say, Dustin Wills is a genius. I'm not surprised that we're seeing him directing an off-Broadway show. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot more of him.
That's cool to get some Austin representation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we have a lot of talent here in this little town of ours. Let's see what time it is, because we're gonna run out of time. Well, okay, we need to talk about the Tonys.
We need to.
Is anybody interested in the Tonys?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Okay. Well, all right. So the three of you are going to have to share this. This is a Tony ballot. So the Tonys are happening this Sunday. And Alejandro, I have to tell you, if you're going to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. This is radio, after all. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about, I have not seen any of these, but of course I've read and heard about all of them. The best play, it's between Ain't No Mo', between Riverside and Crazy, Cost of Living, Fat Ham, and Leopoldstadt. Who has an opinion?
I would love to see Fat Ham get it.
Yeah, but it's going to be Leopoldstadt.
That's what the rumor is.
Yeah.
And I did have a friend that went up to New York right after I was there and saw it, and she said it was very, very good.
But I really want it to be Cost of Living, because Martina Myoke, as you know, Ground Floor Theater just finished Martina Myoke's Sanctuary City.
That's a good lineup of plays.
Yeah, it's a great lineup of plays. And then, of course, between Riverside and Crazy and Ain't No Mo'. And Ain't No Mo', as you know, it ended up closing early. And there was a whole bunch of people that fundraised to keep them open for a little bit longer.
They really rallied to get behind that show.
They did. All right. Cool. Any ideas from anybody else? No. Lots of shakings of the head. For musicals, we have Anne Juliet, Kimberly Akimbo, New York, New York, Shucked, and Some Like It Hot. Now, didn't you see one of these?
I saw Anne Juliet.
You saw Anne Juliet.
I was having to remember if it was original or revival. No, I saw Anne Juliet.
It's an original.
And I loved it. It was like complete maximalism on stage, but in the best way.
Well, that's good. And you may actually hear some music from it later on in the show.
I hope I do.
There's so many. It could be anything. Because, you know, at one point, everybody thought it was going to be Some Like It Hot. Mm. Then Kimberly Akimbo. And then I think it's going to be between Some Like It Hot, Kimberly Akimbo, and Shucked.
Some Like It Hot does have the most nominations.
Yeah.
So,
and I wanted to not like that, because I thought it was, I ended up saying that from everything I've read, they've done a really good job taking a show that is really just the man in the dress trope,
mm-hmm.
And updating it for a current audience, with Jay Harrison G doing a marvelous job as one of the lead roles.
Yeah. It's that reason that I didn't go see it. Because that's what I thought it was.
No,
be
it's
too.
Supposed to be. Yeah, they did. You should have listened to Offstage and On the Air, because I talked about it.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Which episode? Last week?
What?
Last week?
No. It would have been when it first opened.
Okay.
Yeah. So, So that's what you said. Any opinions on musical?
I haven't seen any of them.
Well, don't you think? I would think the three of you would want Anne Juliet to win.
Yeah.
No.
Well, because it's her fault.
No.
Well, our play.
I know. We're going to get their play. is got Juliet in the title. I'm not going to really go through a lot of these other nominations, but Lacey, is there anything you wanted to like? Was there anything based on your trip to New York and anything you saw that you think that was just needs to be talked about right now?
I think the thing is Revival is going to come down probably between the name just escaped me, Sweeney Todd and Parade.
Oh, forgot about. Yes, definitely. It will absolutely become between those two things. I think it was Sweeney Todd. It was going to be Sweeney Todd, then Parade opened.
Yeah, Parade.
And I think it's going to be Parade. So yeah,
that was flawless.
That is amazing. Of play revivals, we have Austin Wilson's The Piano Lesson, A Doll's House, The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window, and Top Dog Underdog. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but they're saying that The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window, maybe?
I heard that was so good. Could it make it out to Brooklyn because it wasn't on Broadway when I went? Yep. But I did see A Doll's House. It was great. I don't know if it deserves a best.
Not revival. Even interested. Also,
is that Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I think she definitely deserves an award of some sort, because her portrayal was genius.
Well, it's funny. She is up for a nomination for Best Actor.
How do you like that?
I say Best Actor. Let's just chat for a little second. We're going to completely run out of time. But as you know, the Tonys are holding on tightly to gendered categories. Mm-hmm. I've been working very hard in a lot of my just normal conversations to try to take gendering out of thing. I don't say actor and actress. I just say actor.
Me either.
So they are continuing along with that. And we have at least two nominees, Jay Harrison G and Alex Newell, who had to choose a gender in order to be considered. And actually, there's a third actor from, I forgot what show, and I forgot their name. They are a non-binary actor, and they opted out of the Tonys for that very reason.
That's from Anne Juliet, yes. The actor that played May.
Yep.
I believe their name is Justin. I cannot remember the last name.
Yeah, so they opted to not be considered. I think that takes a lot of integrity.
Yes, it does.
Especially for someone, and I don't know them very well, but I'm guessing it might be their Broadway debut. They're not like a big name. That really, I mean, boy, that would be a hard decision for me.
Because
really
it could be a milestone for their career, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you put that in
yeah.
play?
It'd be huge. But mazel tov to them. I give them a lot of credit for having the courage and the integrity to make that decision. Mm-hmm. Not to say that... So both Jay Harrison G and Alex Newell decided to go in the actor category, I believe.
Yes.
So both are amazing. And Jay Harrison G, as everybody knows, was a guest on the show.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah,
we have a picture of him and Nicole trying on his kinky boot here in the lobby of the theater.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, him doing kinky boots.
That was a while ago, though,
It
right?
was a while
okay,
ago.
Okay, no, I remember that.
Yep. I want to say 2018, something like that.
I think it was 1918.
I think it was 1918 as well. Yeah,
I remember it well.
He is very well preserved. Or they are very well preserved. Boots. I believe they identify as non-binary now. All right. We have time for just one more, maybe two more things. So I've got to decide what I'm going to do. Oh, should talk about this. Oh, no, I need to talk about this. Why They Act. There's a wonderful article in the New York Times called Why They Act. And they went to Tony nominees. And evidently they do this every year. And I can't remember things. They take a photograph of them and they say, why are you in this business? Why do you act? And so there's a whole bunch of them. There's 39 of them in this. There's a photograph of each one. I'm gonna talk about a few of them just in general order. Wendell Pierce, who's up for Death of a Salesman, he said, I had a desire once to be a lawyer. I had a desire once to be an architect. I had a desire to be a painter. But then I realized I could be all of those things as an actor. An actor gets to explore all the human desire that is out there. So
that's a good answer.
Yeah, I'm just going to go. There's so many of them. I've chose a couple, but I'm choosing randomly amongst the ones I already pre-chose. Corey Hawkins, who is up for Top Dog Underdog, I think. Hold on, let me see.
That sounds right.
Yes, that's true. Corey Hawkins says, I always grew up telling stories in a family where that was an important tradition. Passing that along for me is an opportunity to tell the important stories and the stories that mean the most to me, which are stories of the African diaspora. Mm. Okay, let's see. Audra McDonald. Actually, hers may be my favorite.
The Queen.
It's all I've ever done. That's what she says.
That's beautiful.
It's all I've ever done. Jay Harrison G. Said, this is my ministry. This is how I make a difference in the world.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah. And these photographs are great. And David Zayas, who is up for, hold on, Cost of Living by Martina Mayoke. I just love saying her name because I pronounce it properly. David Zayas says, I act because I want to live. I act to live.
Wow.
Yep.
All of these are so right. good.
I'm We're going to do two more. Let's see. There's Josh Groban, but I'm going to pass him up.
The Grobes.
And this is, who is this? Brandon Uranowitz, who is in Leopoldstadt.
Yes.
Why do I perform? To change people's minds and to open their hearts to new things, because that's what theater did for me growing up.
100%.
Okay, one more.
I love the above, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen McKinley Henderson, who I think was in between Crazy and Riverside. I could be wrong about that. He says, I act because I love poetry. And I found out that there was a profession where you get to speak poetry. You got to speak beautiful language about what it's like to be human.
Good answers.
So those are lovely. So go to offstageonair.com and you can click a link to the New York Times article and see all these lovely pictures. The pictures are amazing. Looking at a picture right now of Ryan Darcy James and Sarah Bareilles. I'm showing it to the studio audience.
Gorgeous.
I'm just in love with Sarah Bareilles as a musician and as a musician for theater. And her story is just amazing. And I think Nicole and I differ on this, but did you see the Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes.
That she was in. Mm-hmm. She, I thought she was amazing in that.
That was the one. Was that the one with John Legend?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
the one on HBO.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And John Legend, who has a lovely voice, should not act ever.
But Sarah Bareilles.
Sarah Bareilles did a wonderful job. And I will say also that they nominate and recognize a teacher every year at the Tonys. This year it's Jason Zimbuck Young from Plantation, Florida. So we always like to recognize that on this show. He produces two full-length productions a year, playing a musical that's done very much like Ground Floor Theater does in both English and American Sign Language. So
that's really cool.
Yep.
Thank a teacher.
Thank a teacher, absolutely. I got to talk about this one last thing, and then we're done. Tennessee passed one of these anti-drag laws.
Uh-huh.
Got shut down by a Trump-appointed judge. Isn't that amazing?
You love to see it.
Hmm?
You love to see it. I love to see it.
Yeah. So he said it's unconstitutional, but what he said is just amazing. Again, I need to stress that this is a Trump-appointed judge, so he's not a progressive judge at all.
Right.
He said the law is both unconstitutional. Let me try that again. The law is both unconstitutionally vague and substantially overbroad, and encourage discriminatory enforcement. So.
That's how you know it's bad, if a conservative is against it.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I should say to folks that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not those of Co-op, its board of directors, or its staff. It's simply our opinions.
It's me. It's me.
It's me. And our opinions are
that
right.
That was me.
All right, we're going to take a little break. I can't remember why I played this. Usually there's a reason, and I'm looking... usually it has something to do with something we spoke about, but I can't I can't remember what it is. But it's from SpongeBob SquarePants. And it's Best Day Ever. So we will be right back.
Mr. Sun came up and he smiled at me.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. And I have my lovely co-host, Kaney, Lacey Cannon Gonzalez.
Did I just get renamed?
I made a portmanteau of your name. You're Kaney.
Kaney?
Kaney.
Well, Kaney, Kaney host?
I don't know. Kaney?
I don't know.
Well, let's reintroduce our guests here because we're going to talk to them about their show. It's Pedamonte Productions. Julieta tiene la culpa. It's Juliet's fault. And we have from Pedamonte Productions and the director of this piece, Alejandro Pedamonte.
Yay.
Welcome. Have you been on the show before?
Yes, once.
I thought so. I thought you had. Yes. Well, that's I had to ask because I was surprised that the next person I'm going to introduce, Veronica Pomata, hadn't been on the show.
I was just waiting for you to say, are you Italian? Because, I mean...
Are you Italian?
Did you even see my last name at all?
Yeah, it's Pomata. Are you Italian?
Yeah. Okay. According to 23andMe, I'm a lot Italian.
Oh, okay. According to 23... Well, yeah. Okay. Well, it's an all-Italian show. Speaking of Italian, we have Lillian Schiappa Pietra.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. This is actually my first time in Austin.
Oh, mazel tov, as we say in Austin.
Thank you.
All right, so are you here just... are you just here for the show?
Yeah, I came here just for the show.
Donde vive?
In Alejandro's house.
No. Where are you from? Where do you live?
I'm from Peru. So,
Peru?
Yeah.
I've been there, if that matters.
Yeah. Which town?
Lima.
Lima, Cusco?
Lima. I don't know. With traveling with Repertorio Español. We played, if there's a Teatro Nacional, we played that.
Anyway. Theater is amazing.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about me.
Why not, Lisa?
You're right. Let's talk about me. So you are opening a show tomorrow night at Ground Floor Theater, and it's called Julieta Tiene la Culpa. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I am just going to give you a short intro, and then Veronica is going to tell us about the story itself. But a main reason that we chose this particular play is because it's an amazing, amazing script written by Mexican playwright by Barbara Colio. It's an all-women show, and I guess it was very... it was good to do our comeback to live theater with something that would, you know, bring a huge message. And we wanted to celebrate women. This time we're producing actually under Central Drama. We created Central Drama during the pandemic, so we could do stuff online. And, it's still me directing, I guess, but I have partnered up with a couple of other people.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And Veronica can tell us, I guess, about the play itself.
Tell us about the play.
Super ready for these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is an Italian play.
It's two-thirds. The third one is not. So this is basically three characters from other plays that are reinvented in a new play.
And plays we all know, correct?
Very well known. So Lillian here is Nina. And Nina is Nina from The Seagull, Chekhov's The Seagull. Then Lorena is Blanca, which is Blanche from A Streetcar Named Desire. And I'm Nora. Can you guess where Nora is from?
Tennessee Williams.
I'm not Jessica Chastain, but you get me. Someone's house.
Well, so okay. So I'm when I hear those three plays, I don't hear anything about Romeo and Juliet. Where does that come into the play?
So none of us is Juliet. You're right.
I figured that out right away.
What happens is we are all at a lobby, theater lobby, trying to get in to see Romeo and Juliet, and none of us could make it inside. So the whole play happens at the lobby of the theater where we're all there for different reasons. And neither one of us could make it into the actual theater.
Oh.
Juliet is in there. We're not.
No, okay. And so what role do you play?
Me? I'm Nora.
You played Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And Lillian, what do you play?
I'm Nina from The Seagull.
Lovely, from The Seagull, which I've... Never mind. I mean, I was going to admit that I've never read or seen. But it's true. I know it involves a bird. And then the third actor is whom?
Lorena.
And Lorena, what's her last name?
Lorena Elias,
and she plays Blanca, which is Blanche DuBois.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to add to what Veronica was saying is what is really, really cool about this story is that these three characters were actually written by men, and they were created by men in different periods of time mm-hmm. in the story of life where women were perceived in a certain way.
Yep.
So today, Barbara Collio, the writer for this particular play, she takes him out and put him in this time today and together and give him the opportunity to be reinvented.
Lovely. And this production is directed by a man.
Yes, this production is directed by a man who is very much in touch with his feminism.
Very good.
We love that. Like,
yeah, I think that the most important thing... Sorry if you don't understand me.
We understand that, you completely.
Yeah, okay, I think that the most important thing here is that this woman made history in their own stories, and now they are meeting just in the knot of their story. So... this is very important. So basically what you are going to watch is three women that meet each other and have to deal with all the things that are happening in their lives together, like a team.
And the more you know about, you don't need to know these women's backstories as characters in other plays to follow the story, but the more you know, the more it makes sense. So the more context you have about who they are, who they in their original plays, the more this one makes sense.
So did these three women come to the theater together, or did they happen upon each other at the theater?
Well, they're Lisa, you're going to have to come see the play.
Well, something tells me I'm going to come and see the play. Well, speaking of that, so I have a disability in that I speak and understand only one language. So for those people like me that speak English and don't have a really good understanding of Spanish, can I come see it?
For sure. Forever, we have actually been subtitling our plays in English. It is a challenge. It's additional work. It's like putting a whole other production together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we want to open it, to non-English speakers as well. So we have a screen that projects subtitles. We try to do our best.
It also puts a lot of pressure on the actors not to mess up their lines.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. Whole audience of people following your lines. Yes.
Well, one would argue that you should have that pressure anyway.
Right. Because that never happens.
That never happens. But actually, with the super titles, you will know that if you like, you know, because as a as someone who's stage managed and directs a lot of things, a lot of times actors may skip huge chunks of text, and with the super titles, you're going to see that text go across the screen really fast.
Yeah, exactly. If you hear an ambulance coming, it's for the guy who's running.
So, is this? Would you say this is a comedy, a dark comedy, or a tragedy? What kind of play is this?
I would say that it's a drama, but it has sprinkles of comedic moments. It's just the way that the story is told. The style for this particular playwright, she writes that way. It's not a comedy per se,
right.
And it's not like a dense drama. You know, it just flows. It's very natural. I want to mention something that I think is super cool for theater people that understand the processes. That knowing the backstory or the previous stories from these three characters from other plays, for us in the development. That, you know, sometimes you have to make up this backstory in order to bring that, you know, start working from then on. This time, it was just like analyzing the stories from the original characters and then put him right here, right now, and take him from here on. So it's been an amazing journey, to be honest. I don't know what they think, but it's been crazy.
Well, then how has that been? I mean, we're running out of time, but just from the actor's standpoint, that is kind of interesting that you have a character that's a fictional character that has a character arc. And if you were an actor in that play, you'd have to research that character. And so here you're doing a play as that character. So you have to kind of do both things because it's that character set into a different situation. How's that been for y'all?
Well, actually, in the text, we have a lot of elements that are from the original play. So I think that those stories behind are like that much important now in what we are living together. So I think that it's really interesting because it was written from boys, I think,
from men,
and but this woman made history in his own time. So I think that that those elements are now important because what happens if one woman write this story again, and three women acted together, and what happened if these three characters meet each other in their own stories? So yeah. I think that's the most beautiful thing about the play.
Amazing. And Veronica, for you, and I just got about a minute left.
It definitely adds an extra layer of a challenge to have to step into an already created character. You have some freedom to become that person because, you know, it's not exactly the same person. But it's definitely more challenging than being able to just imagine who you are.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah. So when are you open tomorrow night, correct?
We open tomorrow night. Okay. We're running for 7 nights at the Ground Floor Theater, June 8th through the 17th.
And where can folks go to get more information?
They can get more information at our Facebook page, Central Drama, and also at Humanitix.
Okay, great. And you could also get it at groundfloortheater.org/shows. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
I'm really looking much. Forward to seeing it, it's which I
awesome.
Will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're ready to go back to work now.
We promise not to mess our lines at all.
Excellent. That was Alejandro Pedamonte, Veronica Pomata, and Lillian Schiappa Pietra of Pedamonte Productions and Drama Central. Julieta tiene la culpa, playing June 8th through 17th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, check the Facebook page of
Central Drama.
Central Drama. And this is, I just keyed on having a female-centric play. This is from Anne Juliet. It's called I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. We'll be right back.
I'm not a girl.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps and
Lacey Cannon Gonzalez.
So our previous guests have left, and I'm just going to go ahead and introduce the folks. We're not going to talk about their thing right now, but just to give if they want to chime in during our local part, I'm going to welcome Maggie Meador. Maggie, hi.
Hello.
Okay. I don't know who is who. So Monroe Oxley.
Monroe.
Yay. Yes. How are you? And great. Shane Cullum.
Oh, John DeMitchell, actually.
John DeMitchell. Oh, sorry, I've got that. Shane. Yeah, and I know your phone number, which I'm going to give out to my listening audience right now.
Yes.
All right, let's just talk about what's going on locally. We just had the citywide auditions.
Yes, we did.
And both Lacey and I were there. What'd you think of them?
I had fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a good 2 days.
I actually found people that I could use, and I have found and have hired people from the citywide auditions. So when it's your turn next year to be part of this, you're going to want to audition. This is the first year it was organized and run by ATX Theater. It had been done by the Austin Creative Alliance in the past. And it ran really well back then. It ran super well this time. They added dance this time.
We had so many dance calls.
We had dance calls.
It was so fun.
It was wonderful. So I want to just thank ATX Theater. And you get more information about ATX Theater at atxtheater.org. I would like to thank ATX Theater and Sharon and all the amazing volunteers she had there.
They did an amazing job.
It was as smooth as a baby's behind. So thank you. We mentioned before, I think I'm going to mention again, Tilt Performance Group is doing their final farewell production. Thank you. That's the word I was trying to come up with. It closes on the 11th. We talked about this. This is Pan. More information, tiltperformance.org. And then I wanted to talk about this, and of course I turned off my computer and my info is on the computer, but ACC is doing a show called The Mad Ones.
Yeah, it's a musical.
Yeah, it is. Do you know anything about it? Because I know nothing.
I know nothing except Eva McQuaid is in it, and I'm excited to see her.
We love Eva McQuaid.
I love seeing her in a musical.
Yep, hold on, let me see what I... The Mad Ones, and this is ACC Drama, as I mentioned. It's directed by... your friend and mine, Marcus McWhorter. It is written by Kate Kerrigan and Brie Loudermilk. And I'll just read this. Mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved. 18-year-old Samantha Brown sits in a hand-me-down car with the keys clutched in her hand. Caught between yearning for the unknown and feeling bound by expectations, she telescopes back to a time before her world's falling apart. And then it goes on. So, but it looks like a lot of fun. You can find it by Googling ACC The Mad Ones is the easiest way to do it. But it plays through the 25th of June. It looks like a lot of fun. And I have not, I've mentioned this on the show before, and I keep meaning to ask Marcus to give me a tour. I've not seen their new theater. Has anybody seen their new theater?
No.
Not yet.
A little bit.
Oh, good. I'm not... A little bit?
I did.
How do you see it a little bit?
I walked through for like 30 seconds.
Well, then I think the answer is yes.
It was gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Other things playing right now. We just mentioned The Mad Ones. The Baker's Wife is finishing their run at Alchemy Theater. It closes on the 11th. We just talked to Julieta Tiene la Culpa. It's playing through the 17th. We are going to be talking to very soon. Thank you and have a nice day, which is Summer Break Theater. You're going to learn all about that. It plays through the 17th. Hairspray, Texas, Broadway Across Texas is playing June 13th through 18th. Unfortunately, we're having callbacks for our next show, and I'm unable to go see it on Tuesday night, which is the press night. But it is the Broadway tour of Hairspray. And Hairspray is always fun.
It's always a good time.
I don't love it, but I love it.
It's just a fun show to watch.
It is. And you know what just dawned on me? I should have played, anyway, something from Hairspray based because it's Pride Month. There you go. See, we just did it. We also have The Importance of Being Earnest still at the City Theater through the 18th. Austin Playhouse opened Big Fish. It plays through July 2nd. And then, of course, Saturni Theater, brand new theater here in Austin at South Park Meadows. The Zoo Story, A Zoo Story, A Zoo Story, The Zoo Story,
I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, it's Albee. It's very famous.
Ooh.
Very, very famous. And it's playing at South Park Meadows. So those are the things that's going, that's happening local. And of course, I want to get into today in theater history, but I now have to stall a little bit because I turned my computer off again. I don't know why I do that.
I know something that happened.
What happened?
Charles Strauss was born. I looked it up.
You are absolutely true. That's one of the ones that I was going to talk about. And it's interesting that you chose that because we're also going to be playing a piece of music from him. Theater history. There it is. But we had a lot of birthdays. Not only was Charles Strauss.
There's a lot.
Jessica Tandy. Dolores Gray. Liam Neeson. Michael Cera. And then two or three Tony Award ceremonies happened on this date. The 41st in 87, the 52nd in 98, and the 69th in 2015 took place on this date. In 1932, you remember this, right?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
The Boyfriend opened at the Marasco Theater. And then in 1934, Caviar opened. And I had to like look at that because I'd never heard of such a thing. Have you heard of it?
No.
It opened on June 7th, 1934, and closed on June 23rd. So probably a reason why you didn't hear about it. But it is a musical. It had nobody that I knew in it. I'll just go through some of the names. Warren Altman, Gene Ashley, Hugh Cameron, Dean Conley. I'm just going in. It's a big cast. There's like 30 people in the cast. But I was hoping to find some music from it, but no luck. And the director, the book is by Leo Randical. It's my old 63-year-old eyes. And lyrics by Edward Hyman. The music is by Hardin Church. It was directed by Clifford Brook and choreographed by John Lonergan. Don't know any of them.
Yeah.
Well, and I was very young in 1934.
Me too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, somebody, for saying something. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a little break. Oh, why did I play this? Huh. Oh, no, I don't know why I play. I am like crazy with playing songs I don't know why I chose.
But I'm here for the chaos.
It's How Am I Doing from Mayer, which is a musical about not Abe Beam, but
Louis Beam.
Ed Koch.
Oh.
So Ed Koch was famous for saying, "How am I doing?" And I have no idea why I play that. But before I do that, I forgot to play this. So we're just going to play this really quickly. Oh, everybody's wearing headphones, so you can hear it. Watch your ears, because this is kind of loud.
How you doing? I'm Jay Harrison G with Kinky Boots First National Tour playing Lola, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
We may need to do it one more time. My levels weren't ready for that.
And I was like eating the mic.
Yep, which is what he did. All right, so let's what they did. Darn it. Let's take a little break, and we will come back and talk to Summer Break Theater. Again, this is from Mayer, How Am I Doing? I should say this. There was a song I wanted to play about being, but you can be a New Yorker, which I loved, and as I was listening to it, like, I would have had to beep the whole song. Like, the whole song.
That could be a lot of work.
So I decided not to do it. Yeah. This is How Am I Doing?
Understandable.
Now at last, I'm fixing up Times Square. It was a ruin. How am I doing?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, with guest co-host Lacey Cannon Gonzalez. Have you been having fun so far, Lacey?
I'm having a blast.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a great time doing the show. I've done it for 15 years.
You know, I'm already ready to come back and do this again.
Great. Well, maybe you can poison Nicole and just take over permanently.
I would never.
Me neither. I will say this. I miss Nicole. We didn't shout out to Nicole, so I'm shouting out to you right now. Okay. Nobody else cares.
I was thinking of something. We love Nicole.
All right. Let's introduce our guest. Once again, this is from Summer Break Theater and their show, Thank You and Have a Nice Day. We have, excuse me, Maggie Meador, who is in it and is also the producer. Hi, welcome back.
Hello.
We have John DeMichel, who is the director and is also in it.
That's true. Happy.
That's a very interesting trick you pull off there. And I'm going to ask you to take that microphone and put it very close to your mouth.
You got it.
We also have Monroe Oxley, who is the playwright. Yes. And the technical director.
Yes.
And then we have just one person that just wears one hat who is on the phone with us, Shane Cullum. Hopefully you're there. Hi, Shane.
Yep. How are you doing?
Oh, excellent. You're there. It's always a big question mark when we get somebody on the phone whether they're actually going to make it onto the air. Monroe, you wrote this piece. Tell us what it is.
It's a apocalyptic, modern but not modern tale of how a family and neighbors deal with a natural disaster and their relationships and how they become strained over the time of being forced together in one location.
Well, I find that hard to believe. I mean, natural disasters don't happen in this country.
I know.
Is it any particular natural disaster?
A snowstorm.
That happens here.
Yeah. And it takes place in Texas. So.
That happened here.
Yeah.
Was it based on Snowpocalypse?
It's based on Snowpocalypse and COVID and any other pandemic, natural disaster you can throw together. There's a lot of callback to the 70s and early 80s about things like that.
Okay.
Without giving too much away, the neighbors are shall I say the name of the bakery they own? They own Heaven's Gate Bakery.
Lovely. I remember Heaven's Gate.
Yes.
Okay.
If you know,
Yep. If you knew, you know, and I know.
My alerts just went off. Yeah.
And then they're all waiting for a comet to come.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. That's Heaven's Gate. And what is the significance of the title? Thank you and have a nice day.
For the older people who understand the National Weather Service announcements, where it comes on, it's a loud buzzer, and then it goes to the monotone. It's one of those driving forces of where it's just telling you the weather, and then the government takes over, and so no longer is it the automated voice, AI voice. It's the government talking to you, and to calm your nerves, they constantly say thank you and have a nice day.
Well, that's true. So. Who's my director? John.
Yeah.
Tell us about your take on the show. And I just want to hear your take on the show.
Sure. Well, it is a ridiculous jaunt through natural disasters and ends of the world. And, you know, we really wanted to hone in on the ridiculousness of, for me, snowpocalypse, and last year when my entire backyard exploded, apparently, with all my trees.
Okay.
And,
that sounds like another story.
I got that story for you anytime. I wanted to hone in on the ridiculousness and isolation of that, and then also really tie into the concept of, like, belief, and not just belief, but, like, the difference between blind faith and, you know, purposefully making choices in what we believe in.
Okay, tell us about the role you're playing in it.
Yeah, I play Chad. I'm the best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there as the moral compass for nobody but himself. Chad is just a ridiculous guy who loves everybody. He's a Labrador.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
We love Labradors. Yeah. James, what do you play? Gave away your character name.
Yeah, I am James. I'm the husband. I'm sort of the anti-hero of the show, I guess. I'm sort of an unlikable character, and
I don't believe
I'm
that.
I'm kind of the one character who sort of is not buying into all of the mania that is surrounding me.
And Maggie, tell us about your role.
Yeah, I play Molly. I'm the wife of James, and I'm sort of the straight woman, straight man, for lack of a better term. I play off of James. I'm always trying to get him to be with me, go out and take a step outside, and without giving too much away, he just can't. And I'm trying to get him to connect with me. So I'm sort of the heroine of the play, I suppose.
Cool. Well, this play sounds like a lot of fun. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time left. But we've had you on the show before, and I just love the mission of Summer Break Theater. Thank you. About that. What is Summer Break Theater? What does that refer to?
We're just a small, fun little group. We work together over and over again, which explains some of the reason why we wear multiple hats. But we're a group of educators that support educators through our work. So every time we do a show, which is just once a year, we turn around and give a portion of our proceeds back to helping out teachers in some way, whether it's gift cards or future events or supplies to their classrooms. And we just want teachers to continue to know how appreciated they are.
Wonderful. And you typically do these shows during summer break.
Right.
Yeah, which would have something
to do. When we actually have the time to do so.
That's amazing. Well, that's wonderful. When does this show open?
Thursday.
Tomorrow.
At Hyde Park Theater.
Hyde Park.
And how long do you play?
Till two weekends.
Two weekends. So it plays through the 17th?
Yes. Short little run.
Short little run. Well, that's amazing. So your last run that I saw was at Hyde Park Theater. Yes. So Hyde Park Theater is obviously very good supportive of you guys. So I'm very, very thrilled to have that.
Yeah.
So that's great. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Summerbreaktheater.com. And all of the information is on the web, on the website, on the homepage, and then also on the production page.
Wonderful. Is there any age?
16 plus.
16 plus.
Yeah.
All right.
PG-13. Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Best of luck with the run.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That was Maggie Medor, John DeMitchell, Monroe Oxley, and Shane Cullum of Summer Break Theaters. Thank you and have a nice day. It plays June 8th, which is tomorrow, through the 17th at Hyde Park Theater. For more information, summerbreaktheater.com. And I went with the snow version with a song that I just love. We'll be right back.
Snow, 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 snow. snow.
Storm. It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Oh my God, we have done it, and we've just got just a little second. I've just got a second to say thank you for co-hosting with me.
Thanks for having me.
I loved having you, and we'll do it again. So you, this is our you're indelibly marked as, you know, this is our first show of our 15th season.
That's an honor I will carry with me.
You should. And coming up for the very first time, it's the Austin Cooperative Hour coming up. And I see my friend John Hoffner here. So I'm guessing it's going to be, because it's really the Cooperative Hour is three shows all wrapped into one. You want to do a quick primer on that for folks,
sure.
John?
Yeah, it's exciting. We've got three shows now as part of a cooperative, the Austin Common Radio Hour, Lights, Camera Austin, and Racism on the Levels, all three times per month. Kind of exciting.
Great.
Or three shows per month. Yeah.
We got the Austin Common Radio Hour coming up next. We'll be back next week when we look what's happening off stage and off the air. On the air. I can't talk. Thank you again, Lacey. And just in terms of Tony nominees, and I just had to love this. We already talked about it, Parade. This is It's Not Over Yet.
No, this isn't over. No, the date's not set. No, I won't wake up tomorrow drowning in my sweat. It means I've got the